Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Julie Gowans.
This morning we are starting a new sermon series entitled The Extraordinary Life. Isn't that video fantastic? Say that with me. The Extraordinary Life. Yes, that's what God has called us to. He's called us to live an extraordinary life in Him and for Him. An abundant life. If you grew up in church at all, you know John 10:10. What does it say? The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, but I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. An extraordinary, abundant life is what God has for us. And the extraordinary life is filled with rich relationships. The deeper and the longer the relationship, the more extraordinary. This handsome, amazing, powerful man of God sitting right here on the front row. We have been, yes, it's you, you, you. We have been married 22 years. And 22 years later, it's a richer, more extraordinary relationship than it was in year one or year five or year 10 or year 15. That's how relationship works. The longer, the richer. But the devil tries to come to derail relationship, doesn't he? He is anti-relationship. He's about breaking relationship. That's his goal, his end game. And I'm going to remind you, my friends, relationship is the one thing we take into eternity. Whatever else you accumulate in this life, it will remain here. The thing that we will take into eternity is our relationships. We need to place a high value on what we take into eternity. Amen. So, if God calls us to live an extraordinary life, which He has, and if rich relationships are a key ingredient to having an extraordinary life, then I want to talk about a few of the benefits of that. So many times people linger and they talk about, I've been hurt, and too often, I've been hurt, I've been wounded, and they talk about all the people who've hurt them in relationship instead of talking about all the people who've helped them in relationship. So I just want to live in this realm for a few minutes, and I want to talk about the benefits of relationship. Because we need to be reminded that there are many, 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 many relationship benefits in relationship. Amen? Amen? First of all, the first thing I thought of was love on this Valentine's Day. Anybody remember the old Nat King Cole song from 1965? L is for the way you look at me. Anybody else? O is for the only one I see. You guys remember that? Yes, I love that song. Very, very extraordinary. Yeah, yeah. Download that great old classic. I love it. Love. Who doesn't want to be loved? Everybody wants to be loved. It's amazing to be loved, to feel loved. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And I'll tell you, in almost 30 years of ministry, I've had to minister to and break off a lot of things off of people's lives. Unworthiness, feeling unloved, not valued, unwanted, rejection, abandonment. I have to break those things off of people's lives because we all want to feel and know we're loved. It's a gift of relationship is being loved. Another gift is affection. It's just a good squeeze, a good hug. My son, Michael, is the best hugger on the planet. Very affectionate and wonderful. Laughter is a benefit of relationship. I mean, how many of you have those friends that you laugh so hard, like tears are streaming down your face, and you have to bend over because your stomach is hurting, you're laughing so hard, and you can barely breathe and catch a breath? There's nothing like laughing like that, my friends. That's a benefit of relationship. How about memories? We have 22 plus years of memories. The longer you're in relationship, the more opportunity to make memories. And then you can sit together and you reminisce and you tell story after story after story and you remember, and it's sweet and it's rich. It's a benefit of relationship. Closeness is a benefit. Prayer. How many of us have times of need? Everything in life isn't a mountain. There are valleys. And there are times when we need, because of relationship, we have people that we can stand with and pray with and war with. And that's a gift and it's a blessing. How about help? Anybody ever need any help? Anybody ever moved? You need somebody to help pack your boxes and load the truck? I remember about 5 years ago, Mike and I were sick at the same time, really sick, at the same time, first time in our marriage, and we needed help. And because of relationship, there were different people that came and picked up our kids and took them to school. And there were people that picked them up and brought them back home. And there were people that came over and brought us soup and crackers. And there were people that went to Walgreens for us to get us prescriptions. And there were people on and on and on and on and on. We needed help. And because of relationship, we had people that could help us. Woe to the person who's alone, amen? How about connections and upgrades? I mean, anybody ever been upgraded to first class, you know, on a long overseas flight because you knew somebody who knew somebody? That's a benefit of relationship. Or maybe you got upgraded to the box thing at the Suns game, you know, and you got all the free food. Or like us a few weeks ago, because of Crystal Silva in our church, because of relationship, the resort we happened to be staying at, she worked there for 10 years. She made a phone call, and because of that relationship, we got an ocean view. That's a benefit of relationship, amen? There are amazing benefits. There are spiritual, emotional, and natural benefits of being in relationship. And in every relationship, we have the opportunity to receive amazing benefits and great hurt. Jesus said, it's impossible to live this life and not have the opportunity to be offended. So, wherever you go, anywhere on this planet, whatever family you're in, whatever family you try to get into, whatever job you're in, work, neighborhood, church, you will have endless opportunities to be offended. You cannot escape the opportunity to be offended in this life. Luke 17:1 says this. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he said, it's impossible that no offenses should come. Say that word, impossible, with me. Impossible. It's impossible that no offenses should come. You can't. It can't be done. So wherever you are, in whatever relationships you have, maybe friendships, you'll be offended. You think that friend is so sweet and so kind and so generous, and bam, they offend you. How dare they? Aunts, uncles, grandparents, those two. Offense will come. Offense will come. Anybody have a brother or a sister? Bam, come on. Offense after offense after offense will come in those sibling relationships. Anybody ever had a boss? Ever offend you? Yeah. Yep. Bosses will offend you. Neighbors? Pastors? Anybody ever had a pastor offend them? Don't raise your hand. Pastors offend. How about signing up for a life group? You get in this life group and you think, oh, this is going to be amazing. And you think these people are so awesome and they're praying for me and we're learning the Bible together and we're going out for coffee and this is awesome. And I cannot believe they said that to me. And offense comes. How about parents, children, your spouse? Yep, they'll offend you too. Every single relationship in your life, there will be opportunities for offenses to come. You will be offered the opportunity to be offended. So Jesus warns us that if we have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to become offended, then we need to heed the warning, my friends, and we need to mature in order to become offense-proof. And that's the title of my message today, offense-proof. Can we pray? Holy Spirit of God, we want to look like you. We want to sound like you. We want to respond like you. We want to live like you, Jesus. We don't want to be shells of Christians walking around with an exterior that may appear to be Christian with an interior that's not. Lord, we don't want to play lip service with you with our lips and have our hearts not be transformed. So we ask today that you would do a move, a miracle. You're the way maker. Make a way today in this place for miracles to happen in hearts and minds all over this building and online. Come and bring freedom. Lift deception. Break in the hardness of hearts that has happened because of hurts. Lord, breathe a fresh wind of your Spirit over every person today that they would have hope again for relationships. Lord, lead us into becoming offense-free people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, so that no advantage would be taken of us, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. So Paul tells us here, we're not called to be ignorant of the enemy's devices, all that he's sneaking around wanting to do in our lives. He doesn't want us to be outwitted and outsmarted by the enemy and his schemes. So be on guard. Be aware. Know that he wants to serve up offense in any and every relationship in your life. And you've got to be aware and on guard to say no to that. 2 Timothy 2:26 says that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Listen, offense is a tool of the devil. Offense is a tool the devil uses. It's his tool. He desires to ensnare us and entrap us and to get us caught and stuck in offense, held captive to do his will. Listen, every time, this is sobering, every time you and I say yes, when that offense is served up and we're like, I am mad now. Every time that offense is served up and we say yes, we're saying yes, devil. We're saying yes to your plan, yes to your bait, and yes to me walking in your will for my life. Because do you know the enemy has a plan for your life? He absolutely does. He has a plan for every single person, every single child of God. He has a plan of destruction, to kill you, to steal from you, to destroy you. That's his plan. Now, God's plan is greater and bigger, and he can snuff out the enemy in a second. But let me tell you, you got to say no to the offense. Because when you say yes, when it is served right up, and you, everything in your flesh wants to say, right, just indulge in that offense. It's like that little rooster, you know, like he gets his little feathers up, you know, and or the cat, right? The cat's little back arches and the little hair, they start hissing, you know. It's like, that's what we do. That's what we, in our flesh, it's what we want to do when we feel offended. But when we say yes, when that offense is served up, we're saying yes to the enemy and yes to his plan for us. And the Lord says, no, no, no. Proverbs 26:11. This scripture is something. Like a dog that returns to its vomit. Such a disgusting picture. Let me just tell you this. This happened to me on Friday. I am at the hair salon getting my hair done. Yes, it's a little darker if you haven't noticed. I had to get rid of the grays again. So, living on the edge. This is me living on the edge. I went a shade darker. I'm wild and crazy. So I'm sitting there getting my hair done. My phone's blowing up. And I was like, I need to dig it out of my purse. So I get it. And it had been my daughter, Isabella, calling. And there it goes again. And so I'm like, hey. And she answers. She's like, your baby just vomited all over the couch. And I was like, what? She was like, Max, Mom, Max just puked all over the couch. And then he went back and ate it. Here I am. disgusting. But that's you and me, my friends. Like a dog that returns to its vomit, so is a fool who repeats his foolishness. I'm mad at this person. Psh, cut you out of my life. Oh, you said that to me? You're out. Done with you. You two, cutting you out. I'm fed up with you. Done with you. Had enough. Out of here. And we just go relationship after relationship, after friendship, after church, because we get mad, because we get offended, because we get our feelings hurt. And you look back at the end of your life, and here you are, standing before Jesus, and you look back, and all you see is a trail of broken relationship after broken relationship. Do you think that's what God has for you and me in an extraordinary abundant life? Is that what he has for us? Broken relationship after broken relationship? No, it's not. I'll answer that for you. No, it's not. No, it's not. We cannot fall for that trick again and return to our vomit. So I want to help you identify when offense has jumped on you. Now, there's the obvious, I hope, when you hate someone, when you just have complete, hatred for a person, can't stand a person, let me just newsflash, you're offended. You're offended. Okay? You're offended. You might blame them and say it's this, but the bottom line is you are offended. Regardless of what they did, how horrible it was, not justifying any of it, but you're offended, okay? That's the obvious. So I'm going to give you some subtle ways to know that you are offended, could be offended. Number one is they don't have safe passage through your mind. It's like somebody says their name and you're like you get a little, like a little twitch, you know? You almost kind of like, when a little convulsion starts happening, you know? It's like just something on the inside of you. You're like, ugh. And it's like your teeth, they stay gritty. You're like gritting your teeth. You're holding it together. But you're like, You're giving this fake smile like, oh, yeah, that person. inside you're like. They do not have safe passage through your mind, baby. That's, and then the rolling of the eyes, that's a giveaway every time. You roll your eyes when somebody's mentioned, brought up. Not a good look. There's some offense right there festering. Number two, you stew. You're a stewer. So you're sitting at the red light, and all you can think about is what they said. How dare they say that to me? I can't believe they acted that way. They treated me that way. That was unbelievable. How dare they? And you're just stewing. You're just stewing. Like a good old stew on the stovetop, it gets tastier and tastier the longer it stews. But baby, you get sourer and sourer. It's ugly. It is a stinky stew. It's a stinky stew. But you can't get it out of your mind. You're marinating in it. You just live in it. It's just over and over in your mind. You can't get over it. That's stewing. That means there's an offense. You are offended. Number three, you avoid them. You avoid their texts. You avoid their calls. You avoid their emails. You avoid their interactions. Hey, and I'm not talking about, we all, me included, it's like, oh my goodness, I read that. I meant to respond to that, but I got distracted. And then 3 days later, I'm scrolling through this dozens and dozens of texts. It got buried way down there. And I just honestly forgot. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about intentionally. You think I'm going to respond to that? Or I'm going to avoid that person? They don't even deserve a response from me. There's offense. Lastly, you're just negative about him. You say negative things. You gossip about him. You could say there's little, yeah, they're just that way. Yeah, here we go again. Telling you, those are not good feelings. If you're going to be honest with you, those are negative feelings that you have toward a person. And if they are there, that is an indication to me that root is there, that fruit is there, that root is offense. Our response to offense determines our future. I'm going to say that again. You need to hear that. Our response, when offered up and we say yes to that, when that offense is there, our response determines our future. It's critical how we respond. I'm going to read you, tell you and read you a story out of 2 Kings. I'm not going to read everything because it spans several chapters. It's 2 Kings chapters 13 through 18. This is the story of Absalom. So, give you a little backdrop. I'm going to read some verses and I'll finish the story. So, King David has many sons, many wives, and many sons. He has one wife and has a son named Absalom and also a daughter named Tamar. He has another son from another wife named Amnon. Okay, so this is the backdrop of the story. Here we go. 2 Samuel 13, starting in verse 1. After this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon loved Tamar. He loved, it was more like lust, but loved this half-sister, okay? Verse 2, Amnon was so distressed. He was so overwhelmed, so sick over her. He became sick. It was improper for him to, she was a virgin, and it was improper for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. In other words, his name was low-life scumbag, let me just tell you. Because this Jonadab said, "Hey, Amnon, what's up? Why are you so thin? Why are you so drooping around here? Like, what's going on?" These are my, I'm interpreting this, okay? Stay with me here. And he's like, "I'm in love with Tamar and I can't have her." And so this low-life scumbag comes up with a low-life, disgusting plan for Amnon to have Tamar, to take Tamar. So we start in verse 8. So, and what he did was, so he told, he's like, tell King David, tell your father that you're sick. So when he comes in, "Oh, I'm sick, Dad. I'm sick. What do you need? You know, I need Tamar to bring me some food." Okay? So here we are picking up in verse 8, 2 Samuel 13. So Tamar went to her brother. She's like, "Okay, Dad." Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was lying down. Then she took flour and kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and placed them out before him, but he refused to eat. Then Amnon said, "Have everyone go out from me." And they all went out. They all left. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into the bedroom, that I may eat from your hand." And Tamar took the cake which she had made and brought them to Amnon, her brother, in the bedroom. Now when she brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come, lie with me, my sister." But she answered, "No, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing." Verse 13, "And I, where could I take my shame? For as for you, you would be like one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." However, he would not heed her voice, and being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. He raped her. Verse 15, "Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And then he sent her out. And so she became desolate. And she ran to her brother Absalom's house." Okay. Now Absalom, now before you start talking about this isn't fair, we're going to get there. So just hold on. Okay. So Tamar runs to his house and she stays there. Absalom takes on this great offense. It was horrific what happened. What his brother did to her, and then his father, King David, did nothing. He should have done something. He didn't do anything. How many of you know leaders aren't perfect and they make mistakes? Not an excuse. Jesus is the only one perfect. King David made a mistake. He should have done something and he didn't. So Absalom says, "I'm offended. I'm offended at my brother and I'm offended at my father." And so he just took on that offense and he let it stew and he let it build. And he became offended and he became angry and he became irate and he became hateful and he became murderous. I'm going to tell you, my friends, that's what offense does to a person. You may be sitting here today full of hatred, maybe murder in your heart. And maybe none of us would carry it out in the natural, but it's here. And it is sin and it is wicked before God. 2 years pass, Absalom's living in it, stewing in it. He comes up with a plan. He's like, oh, there's going to be a sheep shearing festival. Woohoo! Everybody want to go to the sheep shearing festival? Come on! And so he invites all of King David's sons. And they all come. And they all come and he said, okay, here's the plan. Here's the plan, guys. So Absalom talks to all his men and he says, as soon as Amnon gets a little tipsy, bam, I'm going to say it and go for it. You're going to kill him. And so that's exactly what happens. So he kills his brother. He knows it's wrong. He fears for his life. He runs. He gets out of town. He runs. He hides. He's out of here. I'm condensing a lot of chapters in a little bit. Read it for yourselves, please. So fast forward some more time. Some things happened, and then Absalom is invited to come back into the town. King David says, okay, you can come back, but I don't want to see his face. So he comes back. At this point, then he begins to sit at the city gate. The city gate. And this is what you'll often hear called an Absalom spirit. And so he's sitting at the city gate hearing all of the complaints, all of the grumbling, all of the problems, all of the issues of all the people as they're coming in. And what is he saying? He's trying to undermine the king. He's trying to undermine the leader. Because he's offended. So he's sitting there. If I were the king, I would do this. Oh, if I were the one in charge, I would handle it this way. And he starts winning over the affection of the people. He won the hearts of the people. So King David, at this point, has to run for his life. So as he is running for his life, Absalom is going after him to kill him. Offended, murder still in his heart. And he wants, hey, brother was one down, my dad's number two. And this is outrageous, such a sad, tragic story. And in the pursuit of killing his father, he is killed. I'm not going to go through the details. What really killed him is the bitterness and offense. Right? A tragic story of a person who said yes to offense and a 24-year-old life ended prematurely because of living in, marinating in, stewing in, receiving offense. So like I said, you may be saying, well, this isn't fair. Like he had a right to be upset. He absolutely had a right to be upset. He just didn't have a right to be offended and to let it seep into his soul, okay? God says two things are his, the tithe and vengeance. God says the tithe is mine. Bring to the storehouse what is mine. And he says vengeance is mine. Woe to the person who tries to take God's place and carry out vengeance on another person. Let that not be us, my friends. Romans 12:19 says this, never take your own revenge, beloved. You know, and I love that. You know, God's like, okay, if I'm going to have to say, never take your own revenge, there's got to be something already stirred up in a person, right? And so God is so kind, he comes and he says, never take your own revenge, beloved. Remember, I love you. You're loved. Let my love come in and wash over that unforgiveness you have and that bitterness you have and that offense you've been stewing in for 10 years. Come on, you are a beloved child of mine. This isn't who you are. Come on, receive that love and let it cleanse you. Let it purify you. That's what the Lord wants to do. I'm going to keep reading Romans 12:19. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So our job is to forgive and refuse offense. We're to leave the vengeance up to the Lord. So, when we get offended, because what did Jesus promise in Luke 17:1? Offenses are sure to come, right? We're not going to be shocked when something happens in our life. That was my best friend. How dare my husband say and do that? My pastor, how could he? That life group leader. No, we're not going to be shocked that sometimes we're offended. When we receive the offense, as I was sitting with the Lord, I was writing out several ways, and I was like, this just has to be simpler, Lord. I don't want to give him a huge to-do list of things to do. So I whittled it down by the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, to two items. I hope, I plead with you, this will save your life. Walking out just these two things, when offended, will literally rescue your life, save your life. So when we're offended, because it's impossible that offense won't come, what should we do? What should we do? Number one, remind ourselves that Jesus is Lord. It's a lordship issue. You whittle it down. Most issues in life are whittled down to a lordship issue, honestly. And this is just another one. If you surrendered your life to Jesus, you've said, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. I've died to Christ. I've surrendered. I've said, I've gotten off of the throne of my life, and I've said, you're Lord, you're King, you're Master, you're in charge, your way goes. It's your way or the highway. It's not my way any longer. And so, Lord, you said, refuse offense. If I become offended, I'm in sin, and sin is not of you. So it's a lordship issue. What does this look like? Listen, my husband offends me, at least on a weekly basis. This wonderful, powerful, great man of God, he's offensive to me sometimes. My kids have offended me. Our staff, they've offended me. You all have offended me sometimes. I'm like, wherever I go, what did I say? Every relationship in your life at some point, they didn't live up to these expectations that you had. They did or said something that was just hurtful. What do? I live this out. I'm like, Jesus, you're Lord. You are my Lord, and I surrender to you. I refuse this offense. I refuse being offended. It doesn't even matter if they meant to hurt me, God. I refuse it. I choose to refuse. Listen, my friends, nothing in my flesh wants to do it. There is nothing in our carnal nature, in our carnal flesh, that wants to say, Jesus, ow, Jesus, this is easy. Oh, yeah, this person hurt me. They said this. They did this. Oh, yeah, Lord, bless them, bless them. Forgive them, forgive them. Oh, are you kidding me? Everything in this carnal flesh just is like screaming the opposite. And I'm going to tell you this. This is Christianity 101. It's Christianity 101. It's you people want to go to 201 and 301 and 501 and 101 and 101. And they want to get all these theology degrees. And I'm not against theology degrees. And want to study and go here and there and have, and all this degree and this degree and this degree. And I'm not against any of that. But if you can't live out Christianity 101 and learn how to forgive and to refuse offense, you've missed it. This is an enormous problem in our culture right now, in the church, with Christians. Christians are so mature, they haven't passed 101. And that's why they're all mad at each other and yelling at each other and accusing one another and playing right on into the enemy's hands and the enemy's plans. Rise up, people of God.
Amen.
rise up. So I got to live it out. Lord, you are Lord of my life. It doesn't matter. My feelings are irrelevant right now. I forgive this man. That's what you do. You make a decision and you say, Lord, you are on the throne in my life and I am not. And so I choose to refuse this offense. Number two is bless. You're like, this is so simple. Well, do it then. Then live it out, baby. Come on and let the world see Jesus and let the world see the true gospel being lived out. Bless. Bless. There's a passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Let me find it. Here it is. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. That's everything your flesh wants to do, isn't it? You want to spew back what was just spewed into your face. But the Lord says, on the contrary, blessing. We're called to bless. We're called to give blessings, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Verse 10, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I don't want the face of the Lord against me, do you? Years ago, you know, like when you have a scripture and you've read it dozens or hundreds of times, but then this one time you read it and it becomes yours. So many, many years ago, I was deeply betrayed. The depth of the hurt and the betrayal was none like I had ever experienced. So I went to the Lord, and he spoke and he said, turn to 1 Peter 3. Okay. I've been to Bible college. I've read 1 Peter 3, but never this way before. And the Holy Spirit, I read through this passage with the Holy Spirit. He said, this is what I want you to do. You know this person who's deeply hurt you, betrayed you, you know, didn't see it coming kind of hurt, below the belt, like knocked down, wow, I can't breathe. This is such a deep betrayal. I'm spinning right now, never saw this coming. And the Lord said, I want you to bless them. Are you kidding me, Jesus? What? You know what I want to do, Lord? I want them to hurt like they've hurt me. What I want to do is curse them and speak curses on them. What I want, Lord, in my carnal flesh is I want something bad to happen to them. That was my carnal flesh. Everything in my flesh was screaming that. I told the Lord that. It's not like he doesn't know, my friends. Come on. He knows what's in our hearts anyway. So I told him. He's not scared of our feelings. He's not scared of our emotions.
Right.
Lay them out before the Lord.
Yes,
Psalm 142. Pour out your complaint to the Lord.
Amen.
So I did. And he heard me and I'm, you know, throwing my little fit. I don't want to bless him, Lord. It's the last thing I want to do. Julie, bless him. Took a deep breath. Okay, Lord. Jesus, you're Lord. You're Lord of my life. I've surrendered to you. You are my Lord. Okay. I'm going to say it, Lord, but I'm not going to mean it. That's what I told him. He knew it anyway, but I obeyed. And I said, Lord, I pray you bless them. I didn't mean it. And I go, and you know I don't mean it, but Lord bless them. And I did that for several days, again and again and again and again and again. And at some point, a little of the hardness kind of started falling off. And then it was like, yeah, okay, all right, Lord, bless them. Kind of like, psh, you know, blow them off. All right, bless them, Lord. And I lived in that. Fast forward a few months. It wasn't overnight, my friends, but I was obedient to do what the Lord said. You're Lord, I'm going to do what you say. And you said to bless my enemies. And I feel like they are number one on my enemy list right now because of what they've done to me. But I'm going to obey you. And over time, what the Lord did was he healed me. Where I got to the point, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I love them. I know you love them. I pray you bless them. God, pour out an abundant blessing, so much so that they can't handle it, that they can't contain it. Lord, whatever needs they have, Lord, I ask you to come in like a rushing wind and meet every need that they have. And I just went on. I mean, it was like a real warfare prayer for them. That's the place God wants us to be with those who have hurt us, wounded us, betrayed us. Listen, when you pray for your enemies, your heart is protected and pure. Let God do whatever work he wants to do in your heart today. There are many of you, if not most of you, that somebody doesn't have safe passage through your mind. Or when their name is mentioned, you get that little twitch. Christianity 101, let's live it out, my friends. Jesus is Lord. He says they're going to come. So keep your eyes out and know what to do when they do. Refuse the offense. Love them and bless them. You let God take care of the vengeance. You don't go anywhere near that, my friends. You love and we love and we bless. That's the way of the gospel. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for moving by your Spirit today. Thank you, Lord, that you are continuing to do this work in my own life. Lord, thank you that you love us enough not to leave us where we are. But thank you, Spirit of God, that you continue to complete the good work you started in us. Father, I ask today that blinders would be lifted, deception would be lifted. I pray that we would own what we need to own. That we would repent of our sin, of unforgiveness and holding on to offense. Lord, and I thank you that as we do, the floodgates of freedom will rush in. That we will live free. Thank you that freedom is the way of the kingdom. And that's what we want. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.
Amen. Let's give God praise today. What a message. Just for the record, that person was not me.
No, it was not you.
I just give her little minor ones, apparently weekly, probably daily, but she's so mature and godly, they just roll right off of her. Luke chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 5 say this: if you only love those who love you, you are no different than the world. The world knows how to love those who love you, to love them. Church, this is the big difference. Is when somebody offends you, you, because Christ is in you, love them in response. This is also how you have an extraordinary life, full of extraordinary relationships. Because if you've never had to forgive, like really forgive somebody, you don't know what you have. If you haven't had to overcome an offense, then you've never really invested in them. You know, every time you forgive somebody, you've invested in them. You've invested in them. And I remember years ago, somebody betrayed me. And it hurt, and by the grace of God, it was hard, but it was quickly, like within hours, I forgave him of this betrayal. And this other gentleman who was talking bad about my friend, and I said, whoa, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? And he said, how could you defend this person who just did this to you? And I said, do you have any friends? And that's the question I want to ask you. How deep are your friendships? How strong are those relationships? You don't know until you've had to invest, till you've had to love somebody who's not loving you in that moment. The easy thing is to walk away, and that's what leads. What I have found, and I've ministered to people in multi-million dollar homes, famous people, and they don't have an extraordinary life because they don't have any real relationships. And I've ministered to people that live on the streets, and they're not living an extraordinary life because all the broken relationships. See, the gospel is the power to have real lasting relationships, that at the end of your life, 60, 70, 80 years, wherever it may be, that you can look back and go, look at the richness. Look at the richness of my life. There are incredible benefits. And Jesus, high and lifted up, will draw men unto you. In that moment, you're getting offended. What do you have to do? You have to lift up your hands. Jehovah Nisi, your banner over me is victory. Jehovah Nisi, right? Your Lord, and I'm going to love them. I'm going to bless them. Man, I remember one time somebody was just cussing me out, right? They're cussing me out. I don't even know what it was for, but I just go, oh, now you've done it. Now you've done it. You're fixing to get really blessed. You're fixing to get really blessed. That's freedom. That's the extraordinary life. You're free. But when you get offended and hurt, and now you're not free, you're a slave to those thoughts. You're a slave to that person. And what if they actually wanted to hurt you? And then you just let them continue to hurt you? They've moved on. They've moved on to hurt somebody new. And yet, they're just continuing to hurt you. Every minute, every lap in your mind. Come on, church. We're called to the extraordinary life. We're called to the life like Jesus, who's on the cross. He's on the cross 6 hours. And they're mocking him, spitting on him in the 6 hours. He's just praying for him. And one of the thieves overhears, because both thieves mocked him at the beginning. Both thieves mocked Jesus at the beginning. But it was somewhere in the third or fourth hour that one of the thieves said, "Stop it," to the other thief. Hearing Jesus going, "Father, forgive him." As the Pharisees come up there and mock him, and he just says, "Father, forgive him." And he blesses his enemies. He blesses. I believe this is what one of the thieves got the revelation of. This is love. This is freedom. This is extraordinary. And turned to Jesus and said, "Jesus, will you remember me? Will you remember me?" Offense proof. It's possible. And this is one of the keys to the extraordinary life. And we're going to continue to unpack the extraordinary life that God's called us to. Understand this. He came. Jesus came. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, as Julie mentioned. But I have come to bring life, and life abundantly. The abundant life. The extraordinary life. But the moment you take on an offense, you have now exited the extraordinary life. And you have put on the diapers in that moment. No matter how mature you think you are, you have now chosen immaturity in Christ. Because if you cannot forgive, I'm not saying it ain't hard, and at different levels and greater betrayal, it's harder. It can get harder. I get that. And there's great mercy for that. But do you want that kind of mercy from God? Do you want to experience that in other people's lives? You got to do it. Jesus says, "You only will be forgiven. I'll forgive you like you forgive others." Let them go. You're free. You're free to live an extraordinary life. Cruz.
Come on, church. Let's give God praise, man. That's like two sermons in one. Two sermons, two powerful sermons. Praise God. That was powerful. Well, we're going to continue our worship through Connect Time and through giving. So reach in the seat back in front of you, or you should have received a card when you walked in, or grab a phone. For those of you online, don't disconnect. Grab another device. We're going to respond together to this word. It was so powerful today. And as you're filling out your Connect card, I was reminded on Friday night, Pastor Julie dropped another one of her wisdom bombs at the marriage event. And she said, God gave her a word, and that word was intentional. Intentional. And it just resonated with me. And the root of the word intentional is intent. And that means being resolved or determined to act, giving earnest and eager attention. Church, can we be intentional about responding to the Word of God today? Can we do that? Can you take that Connect card and fill it out? And I want to encourage you, as you're filling it out, another way to look at intentional is that it also means that something was designed and intended for a purpose. Church, we were designed and intended for connection and for relationship. Amen? With Him, and both with Him and for each other. And that's why this moment is so important. That's why we don't take this time, especially after that powerful message, we're not taking this time to fill time. And Pastor Julia gave us permission to offend you, so I'm going to offend you a little bit. I'm going to try anyway. Right now is our opportunity, because relationship is a two-way street. Look, we're intentional about life groups. That big box you see outside, that's intentional. The fact that life groups is the first box on your Connect card, that's intentional. So a way that we practically live out relationship and connection is through our life groups. So if you haven't joined a life group yet, it's the perfect time. So many of them are getting started right now over the next few weeks. We've got all different times, all different dates, in person and Zoom. So I want to encourage you that way, because that's how we walk it out together. This week, I've seen so many people in groups, in their life groups, connected, engaged, praying, warring, grieving, serving, celebrating, comforting each other. That's how you get connected. That's how we walk out relationship here at Bethel. Amen. The other invitation I want to give you is, to our Next Steps class right after third service at 1:15. Lunch and childcare are included. We make it real easy for you to come and find out more about getting plugged in here at Bethel. And I heard something about Valentine's Day cookies there. So guys, you can start with the Valentine's Day cookie at Next Steps class, but don't stop there, right? Keep going. Psalm 92 says that those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. We want you to be planted here at Bethel. Look, we're part of a global movement, 2,000 churches in 80 countries. We have a church in Hawaii, in Maui. Mahalo, yeah. Aloha, all that. So, finally, in our giving, there's no better way to put God first than putting Him first in our giving. No way to show God affection and our love and our priority by keeping Him first in our giving. There's three ways you can do that: online, on BethelChandler.com, on your app, click the give button, or old school, on your way out, you can drop the Connect card and the giving envelope on your way out. For those of you online, thank you so much for joining us. Church, let's stand together and worship Him one more time. Come on, church.
Super excited that you decided to join us for church today. We are expecting to see God move. Now check out this week's announcement.
In this time of physical distancing, we invite you to give through the Bethel app, available through your app store. Now, even though we have to stay a few feet apart, we are all about relationship. So, connect with us. Press connect and let us know how you're doing. And if you need prayer, well, we can pray for you. Simply press prayer request and one of our ministry staff will take on your request. Convenience at your fingertips. So download the Bethel app. Digitally challenged? Well, no worries. We have the digital card, connect card, and prayer card located in the seat back in front of you. And if that isn't available, well, visit our website at bethelchandler.com/contact-us.
To find out more about what's happening at Bethel, register for events, or listen to the latest sermon, sign up for our weekly Be Connected newsletter by texting newsletter to 480-418-1108 or visit BethelChandler.com. And don't forget to download the Bethel Chandler app, available for Android and Apple devices.